Welcome to Notes from the Western Edge, a monthly on-demand webcast featuring musicians who create on the edges of jazz, new music, electronics, and a broad expanse of sonic spaces in between. Program number 5 features the release of 2 new CDs on the Cryptogrammophone record label, one by Benny Maupin and the other by the Jeff Gautier Gotet. To celebrate, this issue will be available on our homepage for free for the entire month of May 2006. After that, we'll go back to our usual format of streaming brief excerpts on the homepage, with the entire issue available for streaming or downloading to our subscribers only. Depending on which recordings you've heard, you might think of Benny Maupin as the bass clarinetist on Bitches Brew by Miles Davis. Or you might think of him as the tenor saxophonist with Herbie Hancock's Headhunters Band. Or you might think of his earlier work with Lee Morgan, McCoy Tyner, or Horace Silver. Or you might even know of his own albums on ECM or Mercury. But I'll bet you didn't know that he worked with the Four Tops before any of those other musicians. Benny tells us all about it. Jeff Gautier is one of a handful of musicians across the country who feels the calling to promote the work of other musicians in addition to creating his or her own work. Through his Cryptogrammophone record label and his Crypto Nights and Crypto Noche concert series, he is doing just that for musicians both living in and passing through Los Angeles. This month, he's releasing his 4th album as a leader, One and the Same. I hope you enjoy the show. A year and 5 months ago, the idea of producing Notes from the Western Edge came to me. I was standing on a balcony overlooking the crowded and very noisy lobby of the Convention Center in Long Beach, California. That week, the annual International Association for Jazz Education Conference had come to the West Coast, and the joint was jumping with all kinds of jazz. The Bad Plus, the Yellow Jackets, Herbie Hancock, student ensembles from all over the world, and on and on. I wanted to tap into that energy and feed some of it back in the form of audio profiles of some of the most creative musicians on the planet. And thus, Notes from the Western Edge was born. The very first musician I sought to interview was Benny Maupin. Maupin had presented a rousing session on improvisation for an enthusiastic afternoon crowd. After he finished, I went backstage and asked him if he would be willing to be interviewed for an online audio magazine that didn't even exist yet. He graciously agreed, and we met a few weeks later at a picnic table just outside the Rose Bowl near his Pasadena home. In a few minutes, you'll hear the results of that interview. But before that, here are some comments Maupin made when I interviewed him again 2 weeks ago in conjunction with the release of his album, Penumbra. First, how he met Herbie Hancock through Sonny Rollins.
Sonny Rollins is also one of my mentors. I have multiple mentors who have really groomed me and have really opened up the doors, so to speak, so that I could come through. And I met Sonny Rollins in Detroit, just like John Coltrane, when I was like 17, 18 years old. And they both had a hand in really helping me to develop and encouraging me to continue with what I was doing. And so I knew Sonny, of course, and so I contacted him, and I knew he was going to be playing at the Half Note. And I called him and said, Sonny, I really want to come and hear you. And he said, sure. He said, why don't you just meet me there? And so it was kind of interesting because I lived on the Lower East Side. I could just walk across town to where the club was. So I walk across town, and I'm walking towards the club, and I see Sonny coming from down the street. I know it's him. I also know what Herbie Hancock's look like because I've seen him with Miles Davis. But I don't know Herbie. And they're both, I'm standing there in front of the club, and they're both kind of walking towards me. And then we all end up right there in front of the Half Note. And, you know, Sonny says, hey, how you doing? He said, do you know Herbie? So it was Sonny who introduced me to Herbie.
As you'll hear later, that introduction proved to be pivotal in Maupin's later musical development. Next, here's what the name of Maupin's new album means to him.
Penumbra is a word that was brought to my attention actually by my drummer, Michael Stephens. And I've seen several different definitions of what it means in the dictionary. And the one that stays in my mind is that it's the space between light and shadow, which is sort of how a lot of the music that I compose is combinations of density and scarcity and sparseness. And I like the rhythm of the word. You know, that's the sound of it, penumbra.
Just three corrections before we get into the original piece on Mr. Maupin. Number one, I now know that Joe Zawinul is the right way to pronounce his name. Number two, Maupin's CD, Penumbra, is now available on Cryptogrammophone Records. And finally, Maupin's musical mentor, Lyle Spud Murphy, died in August 2005. And one more thing, the name of the piece we're hearing right now is Equal Justice, with Maupin on piano, recorded in 2006. Mysterious. Obscured in the shadows of Joe Zawinul's Pharaoh's Dance, Benny Maupin's bass clarinet met the ears of a new generation of jazz listeners worldwide. The year was 1970. The album was the double LP Bitches Brew by Miles Davis. Five minutes deep into the dance, the mystery emerges from the shadows into a dark light. Four years later, Maupin's audience grew a whole lot larger. Herbie Hancock's Headhunters, with Mr. Maupin heard here on saxophone, on the tune Chameleon, a huge fusion hit from the 1970s. The last 30 years have brought many changes. A move from New York to Los Angeles, a new marriage, a devotion to both Buddhism and exercise walking, and so much new music, including one for Eric Dolphy.
My first wind instrument was the clarinet. I heard Eric Dolphy after I'd been playing for a while, and I really loved what I heard. But I didn't pick up the bass clarinet right away, but I did continue to play clarinet and saxophone, and then I added the flute. Well, shortly after I moved to New York, I bought the bass clarinet from a friend who had purchased a new one, and he gave me a very good price, and it was perfect. And I've been playing it ever since. A lot of people know me from the bass clarinet with Miles and the various things that I've done. You know, they know that sound, and they know that I have a different approach than Eric Dolphy. I don't play like him. I never wanted to play like him. I just wanted to be able to play with that kind of spirit. You know, he was totally virtuoso. Eric could play anything. I mean, a lot of people don't realize how profound he was.
He knew clarinet concertos and sonatas and all kinds of things, and was just really super advanced. That's why I guess he couldn't stay on this planet too long. He did what he needed to do when he left. You know, but the instrument itself is a marvelous instrument. I always say that it's from the future because it hasn't really been explored.
Exploring is not limited to the bass clarinet for Benny Maupin. Many of his compositions are informed by his studies with a legendary composer and arranger from the era of big band and swing.
I study a system of composition known as the equal interval system. And that is a system that a lot of people are just now kind of discovering. And it was actually developed by a man who's still alive. His name is Lyle Spud Murphy. And Spud Murphy is 96 years old, but he's my musical mentor. He developed a system that enables musicians to arrange music and to compose music, either music that is standard music or totally original music. The elements that I use in my compositions are based on information that I've gotten from him, that I've experimented with, and that I've discovered that work quite well, especially as my instruments are linear instruments. I'm always playing lines and melodies and things like that. I mean, more and more I'm getting into playing the multiphonics, so you hear more than one pitch at a time, because those things are all open to me with the ensemble. There's no piano and there's no guitar. So I'm experimenting a lot with those lines, but using those elements. It's not something that's easily explainable, but I will say this. I will say that from the time that I started studying with him until the present, I've been able to expand my musical vocabulary way beyond anything I could have ever imagined. The linear concepts that we're working with and the rhythmic things that we're doing with my ensemble, this is a very interesting time for me, and I have to attribute a lot of the key elements to what I'm doing right now. I've learned those things from Lyle Spud Murphy.
Much of Maupin's recent music spans the spaces between jazz and new chamber music. In January 2005, his ensemble played the historic Grauman's Egyptian Theater in Hollywood in a concert sponsored by the Decamera Society of Los Angeles. The audience reaction, to say the least, was enthusiastic.
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was absolutely incredible, and I was so happy to be here because I felt that if you heard this on a tape or a recording, you couldn't pick up the nuances the same way. It was just terrific. Some of it was really neo-African too, in a way that was very exciting.
Benny Maupin's journey has taken him from his native Detroit to New York City by way of a gig with the Four Tops, to recordings with Miles Davis and Herbie Hancock, and to the 2005 release of Penumbra on his own Ben Pin music label based in Pasadena, California. A journey of musical creation that continues to sustain him.
These are master musicians that have accomplished everything they can on their instrument. and they come together and give us their hearts. And you can't get anything richer than that.
From Los Angeles for Fresh Ears Media, I'm Richard Paskey. Jeff Cotier is a man who wears many hats. He's the owner of Los Angeles-based Cryptogramophone Records, the producer of two weekly live performance series at Club Tropicale in Culver City, California, Crypto Nights and Crypto Noche. He's a composer and a violinist. Gautier has been part of the creative music scene in Los Angeles for over 25 years. He grew up here, he went to college here at California Institute of the Arts. He's played in orchestras both large and small, on countless film and television soundtracks, and with many of LA's most creative improvising musicians. When you speak with Gautier, one thing is very clear. He feels an unbreakable connection with the creative music community in Los Angeles. Even the names of his tunes connect to that community, as in the piece dedicated to the daughter of the drummer you're hearing right now from Gautier's new CD, One and the Same.
Afufat. Well, Juan is Alex and Karen Klein's daughter, whose name is Naomi Chinwan Padma Klein. And everybody calls her Juan for short. And when she was younger, she had a little trouble saying my name. And we were trying to get her to say Uncle Jeff, and it came out as Afufat. So this piece is dedicated to Juan, and it's called Afufat.
Did the title come first, or did the piece come first? How did that work?
The piece came first, and I was writing it around the time that Alex and Karen flew to China to adopt Naomi. And it didn't have a title for a while, but when we were in the studio, it just all of a sudden dawned on me, oh, right. And she was there for the recording session, so that's when it got its name.
The evolution of Gautier's band, the Jeff Gautier Gotet, goes back a long way, back to an improvising group called Quartet Music that grew out of a collaboration between guitarist Nels Klein and the late bassist Eric Von Essen.
Eric had been playing with Nels as a duo, and they have an old record, it's still an LP, available on Nine Winds Record as a duo. So Nels and Eric and I got together and started playing as a trio, as an offshoot of that duo. And we all thought it might be a good idea to play with Alex as well. Alex at the time was playing with a very, very large drum set, was very influenced by Tony Williams and had a very big sound. And this was almost a chamber group with acoustic guitar, double bass, and acoustic violin, so that necessitated Alex to change his setup a little bit and add some percussion, smaller percussion and hand drums, different kinds of cymbals. And, he developed a whole separate setup just for playing with quartet music.
The affinity that these musicians have for each other is both musical and personal.
Nels and Alex and I grew up in Los Angeles, and I'm a little bit older than they are, but we have a lot of shared memories. Although we didn't know each other as kids, we used to all go to the same places. There were some carnivals and things that kids would like to do, and we all have these shared memories, some of the same restaurants that our parents used to take us to, which were big things. Eric grew up on the East Coast, and he moved out to Los Angeles in the middle 70s. He was a music student at UCLA, and I met him playing in an orchestra. It was a college-age orchestra called the Young Musicians Foundation Debut Orchestra. And we discovered that we liked to listen to some of the same music that was not classical music. I enjoyed listening to classical music as well. And discovered that we both had an interest in improvisation, and that was pretty much unique, so we had that interest to relate to each other with.
The influence of both Eric Von Essen's life and of his music is deeply embedded in Gautier's work.
Well, Eric was a very profound influence, both as an improviser and as a composer and as a friend. He was a very talented musician. Music just flowed out of him, and it was something I always wanted in my life. But it was a very inspiring presence to be around, and especially in the context of that group with Nels and Alex. Nels and Alex, being twins, had a really remarkable, and still have a very remarkable, affinity for each other and an ability to connect with each other musically and almost psychically. And Eric was able to patch into this, and so was I, just by virtue of working with these fellows for so long. So it was a very special time in all of our lives, and Eric was a very special part of that. He was the primary composer for quartet music, although we all contributed, Nels and Alex as well.
Von Essen's influence is felt to this day, as in his composition, Rina, Part 1. Gautier's current Gotet, named after his childhood nickname, the Goat, includes himself on violin, Nels Klein on electric guitar, David Witham on piano and keyboard, Joel Hamilton on bass, and Alex Klein on drums and percussion. Another profound influence on Gautier's work was, and still is, made by Benny Maupin. The release of Gautier's new CD coincides with the release of Maupin's Penumbra, also on Cryptogrammophone. But the relationship goes back a long time before that.
One of the shared memories that Nels and Alex and I have was going to the Lighthouse back in the late 60s, early 70s, and hearing the Mwandishi band of Herbie Hancock that featured Benny Maupin. And then there's also the wonderful record on ECM called The Jewel and the Lotus. And these were all very significant musical influences for us. And when I met Benny a couple of years ago, well, actually, where I met him was at a concert that I produced that was basically a recreation of that NYDC band and some of that music using some of the LA community of musicians. And Benny showed up at this concert, which was just a complete shock and a pleasure for all of us. You know, what an amazing experience to play this music for a person who had, you know, so much influence on us. So, and from that point, some of those tunes ended up in the repertoire of the Go-Tet, and Water Torture was one of them. Then when I started working with Benny as an executive producer and helping to put out his music and try and get some people to notice what he's doing right now, it just seemed to be a wonderful tribute to be able to put this tune on the record. It's also a very open composition. If you go back to the original piece and listen to it, it's just basically a framework around which these guys are just improvising and doing really interesting stuff, again, with, you know, some electronic sounds that nobody had heard before. So we tried to put a 21st century update on that and still give homage and reference to the original recording.
Another example of Gautier's feelings about home and community can be heard in Heart Wisdom, dedicated to Thelma, the 90-something-year-old mother of Nels and Alex Klein. Gautier says that when in the early days they would rehearse in the back room of her house, Thelma always provided a wonderfully supportive presence for the young musicians. I asked Gautier if making, recording, and presenting creative music in a city more often thought of as the capital of pop music feels like fighting an uphill battle, and if the task might be easier in that big city on the other coast. His answer showed both his determination and his commitment to the city and musical community that he continues to call home, the City of Angels.
It's a little bit of a challenge, but I think through the record label and the concert series, we're really bringing a focus and attention to what's happening on the West Coast again. You know, the world does not begin and end in New York. And, you know, actually, it's difficult for those guys in New York these days, too. I never really had a desire to live in New York. I love going there to visit. I love going there to play. Some of the people that I love to work with most are in New York. But this is my home, and there really is a wonderful community of musicians here. And, you know, rather than pick up and move and try and fit in somewhere, you know, that wasn't my home, I thought, well, why not try and take this community of musicians and try and elevate them and bring them, you know, to the attention of the people back there.
Not just back there, but for listeners all over the world, Cryptogramophone Records is bringing the music of Gautier and his compatriots back home wherever they are. For Notes from the Western Edge, I'm Richard Paskey. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Next time we'll hear from two saxophonists. Well known for his work with Dave Douglas, Dave Holland, and many others, Chris Potter is currently touring as a leader with the band that recorded his latest album, Underground. Larry Oakes is perhaps best known for his work with the San Francisco-based Rova Saxophone Quartet, but as you'll learn, he's got many more projects cooking as well. In Los Angeles, for Notes from the Western Edge and Fresh Ears Media, I'm Richard Paskey. Until next time, keep listening.